Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Tuesday, December the 9th, 2025, and we have a studio panel here gathered, and one gentleman who's always with us most Tuesdays and Thursdays is actually in the studio. Good morning, Ray Pritchard.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Welcome to Tupelo.
Hey, listen, you always want to ask me about Florida. 3 days ago, Saturday, it was 81 degrees. Yeah. I was in a t-shirt and shorts, tooling around the property in my golf cart, right? Like all the folks do.
Right.
And I come here to Tupelo.
Well,
it's frigid. It's frigid here.
But where you live now, we're quote way up north.
That's right. This is way
even
up north.
We're in the deep south.
That's right.
He called me a Yankee when he saw me today.
That's right. Yeah.
Chris Woodward, good morning, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Fred Jackson.
Good to be with you.
Yes, so let me just check here, like old people do. I'm 62 and a half. You start checking the weather all the time. So it's 38 here in Tupelo. I've got, let's see, Kansas City, where your summertime home.
That's right.
What is that right now? Kansas City's 43.
Ooh.
It's warmer in KC than Tupelo.
This is wrong. Something has gone upside down with the weather.
Now, if we get in our car and go down to the sunny state of Florida, let's see what we got in Hudson, Florida right now. Let's see. Ray left 60. It's 60 right now.
Okay.
But you left 60 going up to 66, I think. So, yeah, it's... but you lived all over the country, hadn't
That's
you?
Right. And 17 years in Chicago. So really, you know.
Right. It's all relative, right?
It's all relative. That's right. It's good to be here, Tim.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for coming and being with us. We have our board meeting today for our ministry. And so Ray's in town for that. And he's in studio, and we're delighted to have him with us. Dr. Frank Turek will come be with us at 10:30 Central Time. So we look forward to visiting with Frank. He's the host of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, which is heard weekends here on American Family Radio, Dr. Frank Turek. So, Ray, tell everybody about the offer you have for Keep Believing Ministries, which is your ministry.
We are right in the middle of our Advent series called Behold the Lamb, Advent from the Gospel of John. And every day, we are sampling a little bit about what John tells us about who Jesus is and why he came. We're just working our way up toward Christmas Day. And I know a lot of our AFR listeners have joined us. If you would like to download the ebook, it's all, you could order the print thing from Amazon, but why do that? Just go to keepbelieving.com, and right there on the front page it says download your free copy of Behold the Lamb. You can get it PDF or EPUB or Mobi, which is really for Kindle. Just go to keepbelieving.com. Love to have our AFR listeners join us as we journey with John toward the birth of our Lord.
Still time to catch up. It's December 9th, so, right? So
that's right.
Still got time to catch up there or join midway through there. So go to where and do what now again to get this free?
Keepbelieving.com.
Okay.
And right on the front page, right there,
right.
It'll say download your free copy of Behold the Lamb. Just follow the prompts and click on the version you want. It will download right to your laptop or right to your phone.
Neat.
Hey, let me ask you a question, and I got 1,000 questions about Christmas. It's such a fascinating story. But let me ask you this question about relative to the wise men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we've talked about this before. I maybe ask this question every year, but I'm just... So they, the three wise men, right? oftentimes when we see the nativity scene, we see the shepherds and the wise men together.
That's right.
At worshiping Jesus, right?
That's right.
And I think, I'm not saying that people are necessarily ignorant, but a lot of churches may do that just to.
It's a beautiful scene.
They don't mean anything
right.
radical about their.
Because the shepherds did come.
Yeah,
did come.
Yeah.
The Magi did come.
That's right.
They all came.
But we know that the shepherds came the night of the birth.
That's exactly right.
So when did the wise men come?
Sometime later.
Or the Magi.
Sometime later. Fred, how long a time do you want to say?
I've heard a couple of years.
Yeah.
And because at that point, obviously, the family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus weren't in the manger anymore.
That's right. They were in a house.
But they hadn't gone to Egypt yet either.
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not
so yet. Sometime between the birth and the time they leave to go, flee to go to Egypt because Herod's threat.
Right. And remember, Herod said, kill all the baby boys of Bethlehem under the age of two.
Yes. Okay.
So he had figured out. He had figured out something. So it's sometime later. Could it have been 6 months later or a year later? Sometime 18 months later, they were out of the stable, they were into a home, and the wise men come from Persia.
Yes.
Modern day Iran. Uh-huh. And though you can't really prove what I'm gonna say, I think there's good evidence that this goes all the way back to Daniel chapter 5.
Amen.
To Daniel, who was named as the head over all the astrologers and all the magicians, and the word is magi.
Yeah.
It's in the Greek version of Daniel, it's magi. Mm-hmm. I think Daniel explained it to those Persian leaders back 500 years earlier. And Tim, I think they passed it down from one generation to another, to another, to another, so that when they saw the star in the sky, they said, yeah, this is what Daniel was talking about.
Yeah.
And it was the Lord who arranged Daniel, put him there. It was the Lord who put the star in the sky. And it was the Lord who led them all the way. It's a dangerous, difficult journey.
Yes.
To come from Persia. I mean, today, you know.
Talking about 1,000 miles.
Yes. And you're talking the camels and the caravan and in many, many weeks to make a, many months probably to make
months.
A journey like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, because that would be modern-day Iran, right?
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
So,
or in that area.
Were the shepherds and the wise men together at the same time? Almost certainly the answer is no.
Uh-huh.
Is it okay to do that in a Christmas play? Yes, it is. Yes, it's because they were all there, just not at the same time.
Right,
yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've mentioned this before, and then we'll move on to our interview here, but the one of the most, we had a Christmas pageant, the church I attended and my family went to. We had a pageant for, I don't know, 10 years or so, maybe longer. And it was a big deal in the Tupelo area, okay? So we would have, 3,000 people come through on a three or four day period, okay? It's roughly, something like that. But the scene I'll never forget was not very spiritual, okay, and that is the live camel.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Have y'all heard this before?
No.
If I tell you this,
no.
So we had live camels. I'm talking about. So camels. This guy brought camels in from I don't know where, Texas or somewhere, and used them for the pageant. So live animals. And the camel. This one particular camel comes walking down the middle of the aisle.
Oh no!
You know, with magi or whatever like that. So we got these dressed out ladies, old elderly ladies, bless their hearts. They had come for the pageant.
Oh no!
I don't know if they'd come from the senior home or whatever. Like
oh
that.
No!
But they were there, and they were in their Sunday best. And this camel.
Oh no!
You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
This camel.
I'm worried about
camels. Camels. Their mouth. They're chewing like cows all the
right,
time. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And that camel whipped his head around when he turned back toward the audience. And I don't mean to gross people out, but here comes the. What do you call it? Spit.
The cud.
The stuff that's coming out of a camel's mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It just wipes out the first two rows of these ladies.
There goes the pageant there. Yeah,
and it's just like, well, do you laugh at this?
What do you do?
What's the right emotion?
The Bible says there is a time to laugh.
That's well, it was hilarious. Yeah. You laugh if it didn't happen to you.
That's right. Yeah. The ladies were not laughing.
These little old ladies who had come from the, you know, in their van from the Pleasant Hill Senior Retirement Home.
Oh, no.
They weren't happy, Fred. They weren't the Christmas spirit after this particular incident.
I looked it up here, and according to the internet, they can spit up to about 120 feet. So if you're going to a Christmas pageant, don't sit up front or even in the back.
This hit blue hair up 20 feet. Okay. I'm telling you. Huh? Am I right? Just boom, right there.
So
it was.
What did they do the next year?
Oh, no. I don't know how they kept that from ever. That was like a freak thing. I don't think camels normally just walk around doing that. Maybe the lights hit the camel in the eyes the right way, and he just said, "You know what? I'm going to show my appreciation to all these people." So anyway, and man, that's better than other things happening by camels in the middle of a show.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that happening.
There's a risk with live animals.
There's a reason you put the horses at the end of the Christmas
parade.
That's right. Yes.
Anyway. That's one of those things you'll never forget as long as you live.
Yeah, I can understand.
We just want to be a blessing, folks. That's why we're here.
What y'all talk about today? Oh, a camel spit on some old ladies.
There is risk with live animals inside a building, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You know, maybe one day we just need to open up the phone lines and let people tell their
stories.
Their pageant stories. Because we all got them.
We all
right?
got them. That's right.
Who was it that maybe it was Dennis Swanberg? Everybody knows who Dennis Swanberg is. Mm-hmm. He tells of course Dennis Swanberg's hilarious anyway.
Yes.
But he tells this story about a church he was at where something about the angel was supposed to come down, you know, from above, and it fell through the ceiling.
Oh
yeah.
Oh,
the angel fell through the ceiling. Fortunately, nobody was hurt seriously, but it was a. It was a moment.
But I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I know, right? That wasn't in the script.
No.
Huh? All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim, Fred, Ray, Ray's in the studio with us, and Chris. And Dr. Frank Turek joins us now. Frank is has the program I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, heard weekends on American Family Radio at 9 o'clock Central Time. On Saturdays, and then again on Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock Central Time. All right, Frank, how you doing, brother?
That's why I never bring camels to church.
He didn't have enough faith to bring a camel.
All right, have you ever seen anything like that in a Christmas pageant or an Easter pageant or something like that?
I haven't seen it. I've heard about it, and it can be embarrassing. But hey, they know if it's a live display, these things are going to happen.
I know.
These things are not potty trained.
You know. Oh man! All right then. So what have you been doing since last week? We talked to you.
Well, I attended spoke at the TPUSA donor event down in Mar-a-Lago this weekend. Erica invited me to come down and pray and do a little tribute to Charlie. So that was good.
Was Trump there?
No, he was in D.C. We wouldn't allow him to come home. No, he had an event in D.C. He was giving awards to, like, Sylvester Stallone this weekend.
Yeah.
Kennedy Center Awards.
What's that?
It was the Kennedy Center Awards annual, where they give awards to entertainers, basically, lifetime achievement awards. And Sylvester Stallone, you're right, was one of them.
Absolutely.
With Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Ed would like that. And Kiss, and then, anyway, a couple of others. George Strait, the country singer.
Nice, nice.
Country singer. I think Kiss and George Strait did a duet. So
Rainy Days and Mondays?
That was pretty interesting to see.
Are they both wearing makeup now?
I'm absolutely, absolutely lying through my teeth. The idea of Kiss and George Strait doing a duet. Now, that's funny. Right there. But anyway, that's why President. But Mar-a-Lago, I'm just curious, you were there. That is a, that's the home where President Trump lives when he's, you know, not in D.C. But it's a, is it like a community? It's not a house per se, is it, Mar-a-Lago?
Well, it's a club that people can be a part of. And I didn't see the whole place, but they have this amazing ballroom, which is where a lot of people hold events, and that's where the TPUSA event was.
I got you.
Saturday and Sunday night. It may have been the same room. I'd have to go back and check, but it may have been the same room that Trump gave his election night.
Yeah, it was. I think so.
Speech. Is that the room he was in?
Well, it's a room that he's had a lot of pictures taken there over the years, you know, with the ballroom, as it were, where they. So I just want, it's sort of like a country club.
Yes.
Is what it is. I got you.
And, I mean, it's spectacular grounds, and the ballroom is spectacular. That ballroom, the one that Trump is building at the White House, I don't know how big it is, but that ballroom.
Huge.
Can easily hold 700-800 people.
Nobody's ever seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Never seen anything like it. That's right.
All right, so let's see. Our topic for you today is what to say when people ask for non-Christian sources about Jesus. Talk about that.
Well, here's the shortest answer. The Bible is a non-Christian source. All the New Testament documents were written by Jews. They weren't written by, I mean, they became Christians. But the question is, why would these Jews become Christians? Why would they invent a resurrected Jesus who claimed to be God and rose from the dead if it didn't happen? Did they invent this so they could get themselves kicked out of the synagogue and then beaten, tortured, and killed? I mean, the last time I checked, that was not a list of perks. All right? So when people say, well, I can't believe it because it's a Christian source. I say, it's not a Christian source. It's a Jewish source. Sources. The New Testament documents have between 8 and 9 writers. We just don't know who wrote Hebrews, so that's our big question mark. But they're all Jews. Even scholars are admitting now it looks like Luke was a Jew. They're all Jews. And even if Luke was a Gentile, the other 7 or 8 writers are all Jews. Why are they inventing this? They're not. It really happened. Now, there are non-biblical sources outside the Bible. There's like 10 of them within 150 years of Jesus' life. You know,
like what?
Well, Josephus, Jewish historian, Tacitus, Suetonius, Thallus, Phlegon. These are all household names, I know. but these are either, you know, Roman historians or people that were alive and prominent at the time within 150 years of Jesus's life. They all mention Jesus or his followers.
So you're just to be clear, so people understand, you're talking about people that who were historians within, you said, 150 years of the time of Jesus, who wrote about him.
Sure. They may have mentioned things about him. Okay. Even the Jewish Talmud says that he was hung on the eve of the Jewish Passover for practicing sorcery.
Okay. So that proves that Jesus Christ did exist and really lived. And it's not, I know, I mean, I've never doubted that, but I mean, a lot of people would say, how do you know he really, you know, if all you're basing this on is the Bible, to confirm the Bible, then give me something outside the Bible. And you're saying they do exist, and you've listed the name of some historians who referenced the life of Jesus.
Yeah, they do exist, but when people say that you can't use the Bible, what they're misunderstanding is the Bible is a collection of independent sources that were compiled and put under one binding later. So they are, I mean, you can leave for the sake of argument at this point, when you're talking to a skeptic or a non-Christian, you could leave the doctrine of inspiration outside of the discussion. We're not treating these as if they're inspired word of God documents at this point. We're just looking at them as historical texts. They were later collected and put under one binding, but they're written by different people at different times in the first century from different places. And they show us what, first of all, Jesus said and did. Those are the Gospels. Then how the church how these new believers spread their beliefs around the ancient world. That's the book of Acts. And sort of congruent with that are the letters, the epistles, which is basically how to live the Christian life as Paul and others are writing to churches and individuals in that, say, 30-year period between, say, 33 AD and about 62 AD, or all the way up to, say, maybe the late 60s AD. Those are the letters. Those are the epistles from Romans on. And then, of course, you have the consummation of all things. It's a book of Revelation. So these are all documents written by either eyewitnesses or people that knew eyewitnesses. And you don't have to look at them as some sort of religious text. And in fact, I like to say this, when you look at the New Testament documents and you realize that no one had any motivation to invent a resurrection, they didn't get the big three things that people will lie to get. Like they'll lie to get sex, money, and power, right? Those are the big three temptations. People will lie, people will cheat, people will steal to get sex, money, and power. But they're not going to lie, cheat, and steal to get beaten, tortured, and killed. All right. So I like to say this, that the New Testament writers did not create the resurrection. The resurrection created the New Testament writers. Mm. You wouldn't have these documents written by Jews in the first century claiming a man claimed to be God and rose from the dead unless a man really did claim to be God and really did rise from the dead, because the Jews had everything to lose by saying that was true, not everything to gain. They didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. They got everything negative temporally from saying Jesus had resurrected from the dead. They got kicked out of the synagogue and then beaten, tortured, and killed. They didn't get sex. They didn't get money. They didn't get power. So you can look at these documents from that perspective and realize, wow, you know, this is not right. a religious inspired source. We don't have to assume that. It turns out to be, but we don't have to assume that going in.
Right. Go ahead.
Frank, let me ask you about Josephus, because you mentioned him earlier. Famous Jewish historian. Just give us a couple of sentences of it. Who was Josephus, and how close was he to the events of the life of Christ? And in essence, what did he have to say that helps us think about who Jesus really was?
Yeah, Jesus is referenced by Josephus in two places. He has a couple of paragraphs or a long paragraph on Jesus in one of his works. And then later in the same work, I think they're both Antiquities, if I'm not mistaken, he mentions Jesus in relation to his half-brother James, who is essentially martyred by the Sanhedrin in 62 AD. He's thrown off the Temple Mount, James is, and then he's stoned to death. This is the same guy that wrote the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus. But Josephus was a Jewish historian who was born in 37 AD, and he took up arms against the Romans when the Jews tried to rebel against the Romans between 66 AD and 70 AD. And in 67 AD, instead of committing suicide like his colleagues did when he was surrounded by the Romans, he gave himself up and somehow won favor with the Roman emperor and became an historian, a Jewish man. He became an historian and wrote really at the behest of Rome. And so he wrote these works in the late first century. So Josephus was almost a contemporary of Jesus. He was born, say, 4 years after Jesus died and rose again. But he was a contemporary of somebody like James and may have actually seen the execution of James. Hmm. For all we know, he may have been in Jerusalem at the time. So he is seen as the premier historian of the first century that helps us know what happened outside of what the New Testament documents say in that area in the first century.
Are you going to be covering that this weekend, this topic?
This weekend we're going to have the great Lee Strobel on, who has a new movie coming out mm-hmm. next week mm-hmm. about miracles. It's going to be in theaters, so we're going to be talking about miracles, including the miracle of the incarnation and the resurrection.
Okay, so that's Saturday morning, right here on this radio station at 9 o'clock Central Time. Dr. Frank Turek, our guest right now, will have Lee Strobel as his guest on the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist radio program. That's Saturday morning, 9 o'clock Central Time. And Sunday afternoon, again, we re-air the show at 4 p.m. Central Time. All right, Frank, take care. Have a great day, my friend.
Don't tell me what to do.
And his friend. That's it. A friendly guy, that Frank Turek. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
You know, we have problems in life, and problems that we need to stand up to. And if you're to stand up to those problems, you need to convince yourself that absolutely nothing in life can defeat you unless you're willing to let it. Many times, when faced with trying problems which life has put in our path, we feel that we are at the end of our rope. I've felt that way many times, and I know you have too. What should a person do when he gets to the end of his rope? Hang on! That's what the rope is there for. A wit has put into poetry the tale of two frogs that had gotten to the end of their rope. One hung on, the other didn't. Here's the story of their plight. Listen carefully. Two young frogs from inland bogs had spent the night in drinking. As morning broke and they awoke, while still their eyes were blinking, a farmer's pail came to the swale and caught them quick as winking. Ere they could gather scattered senses or breathe a prayer for past offenses, that granger grand, that guiltless man, had dumped them in the milkman's can. They quickly find their breath will stop unless they swim up on the top. They swim for life, they kick and swim until their weary eyes grow dim. Their muscles ache, their breath grows short, and gasping speaks one weary sport. Say, oh dear, I've had enough of life. No more I'll try it. Sweet milk is not my diet. Tut, tut, my lad, the other cries. A frog's not dead until he dies. Let's keep on kicking. That's my plan. We yet may see outside this can. No use, no use, faint heart replies, turns up his toes and gently dies. Now the brave frog, undaunted still, kept kicking with a right good will, until with joy too great to utter, he found he'd churned a pound of butter. And climbing up on this hunk of grease, he floated to town with the greatest ease. Now the moral of the story is this. When in your Christian life you find you've grown weary of the toilsome grind, don't get discouraged and go down, but struggle on, no murmur utter. A few more kicks may bring the butter. If you refuse to be bigger than the problems which life sends your way, those problems will defeat you. But if you can grow bigger than your problems, you'll always have them on the run. If someone were to ask me what my Christian faith does for me, I should have to reply that it gives me the strength to stand up to life. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. That's what Paul said. That's a favorite verse of mine. Whatever else the Christian faith does, it gives a person power to stand up to life. I have experienced that truth in my own life many times, and I've seen it experienced in the lives of other people who would otherwise have been defeated.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23, and 24.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Fred. Ray is here with us. Ray Pritchard is in studio with us, and Chris Woodward. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Well, fellas, before we move back into the hard news, the four finalists for the Heisman Trophy have been announced. So the finalists are Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza.
Right. He's a strong Christian, right?
I think so.
He mentioned God in his victory speech Sunday or over the weekend.
Well, and I've heard
also,
him.
He's an excellent quarterback. Yeah. He's really good.
Oh, yeah. Vanderbilt Commodore quarterback Diego Pavia.
Right? Mm. Very good.
Yeah.
Best quarterback they've ever had.
He's a magician.
For sure.
Yeah,
watch him play. And then Notre Dame Fighting Irish running back Jeremiah Love. Maybe he'll get some love in D.C. at the
after the attention they've
Washington,
gotten
in New York
not
City,
making the playoff, yes.
And then and then Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback Julian Sayin. His last name is Sayin.
Just Sayin.
Right. What if his parents had named him Justin?
Justin, right? Justin.
Just and you, and they would have never known by right. the year 2025. The expression "just saying" would be as popular as it is today, but that's his last name, Sayin.
So who you got of those four? I got a pick, so I want to hear yours.
If I were to vote, I'd vote for the Indiana quarterback, Ben Mendoza. Listen, all these guys, they wouldn't be in New York if they weren't all excellent.
Right.
You could pick any one of them, and it'd be hard to argue with it.
Yeah.
Right.
That the Pavia.
That's who I got.
He lost to two good teams.
Yeah.
They weren't bad losses.
Yeah, you can vote for him. I don't got a problem with
that. If he doesn't come to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt.
No, you don't hear about Vanderbilt.
No.
He single-handedly, with that coach, Clark Lee, turned Vanderbilt around.
Yeah. Same way with Indiana quarterback.
Well, that's true.
Mendoza, he transferred from the University of California.
That's a hard choice then.
Yeah, he gave Indiana,
that's a hard choice.
National state. Yeah, they're all excellent.
Who are the last two?
The running back from Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love.
Excellent.
And Ohio State quarterback, Julian Sayin. But I don't think either one of those guys are going to win. It's going to be between Mendoza and Pavia. Yeah,
I think Pavia. It'll end up being Mendoza just purely because they're in the playoff.
Right.
They had this great year. It's not fair. I would say Pavia is probably the most valuable player in football just because of what he did to Vanderbilt.
But who would have ever thought maybe the end of the world is near? When you've got quarterbacks for Indiana and Vanderbilt challenging for the Heisman Trophy, that might be in the Book of Revelation.
This is a sign right here, friends, right here.
Right. That the end is near. All right, so we'll see what happens there with that. Those four gentlemen being invited to New York City for the most prestigious award in college athletics. Yes.
I think somebody that should have at least been invited, and it's a shame that he was not. And I'm an MSU Bulldog. I will be buried in a maroon suit with a cowbell under a tombstone that says Hail State. But somebody that should have at least been invited is the Ole Miss quarterback.
Yeah.
He didn't play the first two games,
Trinidad
and therefore
Champions.
They're holding it. But that kid was phenomenal. And what he did to the Bulldogs in the Egg Bowl is
he's a true story for a movie.
Yeah.
Because
the quarterback for Ole Miss, he was in a Division II or III school last year.
Ferris State.
Yeah, wasn't even recruited. He grew up in Michigan, wasn't even recruited.
Yeah.
And now he's like leading a team to the playoffs, the NCAA playoffs.
Best season they've ever had.
Yeah,
the Ole Miss quarterback. Yeah, you're right. That's a story. He could have been easily invited to New York City for the Heisman Trophy.
Robbed.
All right. We're not talking hockey, so Fred's not very interested over here, evidently.
No, I'm just picking up the information.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What's your next story, Chris?
Well, this evening, President Donald Trump is going to be in Pennsylvania to kick off a nationwide tour of stops talking about his economic policies and how they'll help continue to bring prices down. I say continue to bring prices down because if you watch the White House press briefings like we do in the newsroom, they have long said, Caroline Leavitt has said for weeks, months really, that the president's policies are helping to bring prices down. Eggs are down, gas is down, several things are down. But some people, including Democrats, are still saying he hasn't done enough. He's the guy in charge, and he didn't bring down prices like he campaigned he would. But President Trump says, look, the policies, the problems that I'm trying to fix were actually caused by Joe Biden, who, according to Donald Trump, didn't do anything about price problems. Clip one.
We inherited a mess. Affordability, but you can call it affordability or anything you want, but the Democrats caused the affordability problem, and we're the ones that are fixing it. So it's a very simple statement. They caused it, we're fixing it.
I would say that some of the criticism of President Trump is a little too early. He has not been in office yet. Some people are saying he spent too much time during the summer focusing on trying to bring an end to the war between Israel and Hamas and Ukraine and Russia. I think the news media is somewhat to blame there because things have been going on behind the scenes. The Energy Department specifically has been doing things to open up and increase more oil and gas. If we bring down the price of gas, and it's cheaper today than it was 5 years ago, if we continue to bring in more oil and gas to bring down the cost of energy, it's going to help bring down prices even further. I think it's premature to criticize him for not doing enough, if you would ask me.
I think there's a perception driven by the Democrats and the mainstream media that things are a mess out there, economically speaking. So people say that, Trump... This visit to Pennsylvania this evening is the first act in what is going to go on over the next several months. We're leading into the midterms, and he plans his boss at the White House. I saw her quoted this morning. I think he calls her his boss. He is going to be on the road for the next several months. And don't forget, a lot of the things that were in the big, beautiful bill are going to be kicking in next year. Mm. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. All of these things are going to start manifesting themselves. People are going to see the benefits of all of this. He's talked about, people, middle-income, lower-income people, getting a check in the mail based on the tariffs, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So all of that's going to start happening early in the new year. But,
you need to go work for the White House, Fred. If Carolyn Leavitt, if she retires,
that was a good answer, Fred.
You just hit all the... Trump high points there.
Well,
I'm not saying that you're making it up. I'm just saying that's a good synopsis.
That is going to be the plan for the election year.
Can I add one other thing here?
Yeah.
I don't often get to share my opinion in news stories, so this is my time and I take it. Okay. Democrats saying he hasn't done anything about prices. He said he was going to do this and he hasn't. He lied to you, all these other things. These people didn't say diddly squat about price problems under Joe Biden.
Of course.
And they had years to raise a stink about it, and they didn't. Yeah. Now that somebody is in the White House they don't like, it's a problem, and he's to blame.
Do people around the country understand diddly squat, what that means?
That's a good question.
Travel the country? If you were to go to Oregon and say diddly squat, would they know what you mean?
I'll be in Oregon this weekend. Maybe I'm going to work that in diddly squat.
I'm fixing to explain it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good English word. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's universally understood, but I'm not sure.
Let me see if it's in the dictionary yet.
Fred, would you hear diddly squat in Nova Scotia?
I've heard that for years.
Canada. They even use diddly squat in Canada.
It is in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, which means it is a word.
Kaboom.
What does it mean, Chris?
The least amount, anything at all. Example sentence. My mother never gave my daddy diddly squat for Valentine's Day. That is the example they give in the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
So there you
Somebody's
go.
Bitter.
So diddly squat is a term understood by all Americans and Canadians, by the way.
Absolutely.
According to Fred, diddly squat.
But just one more point. The gas prices. I'm looking where I am right now in Tupelo. I can get it for $2.34 regular.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole lot better than it was just a year ago, let alone 3 or 4 years ago.
And odds are it will get cheaper because gas prices, no matter who's in office, most times, gas prices do tend to get cheaper during the winter months. So we might even be seeing cheaper prices going into like MLK Day or going into Valentine's Day.
And don't forget the gas prices have been connected to the prices of groceries because, trucks that are used to carry the groceries to the grocery store had to pay a whole lot more for fuel. So we should start seeing a benefit out of that as time goes on.
Yeah. I have noticed the price of food. I think we all have. The price of food has been going up. Both grocery store food and restaurant food has been going up the last three or four or five years.
It has.
Now, I know that we used to be able to go into the Outback.
Right.
And I'm talking about 5 or 6 years ago, you could go into the Outback and you could get the Outback Special for like $12.99.
Right.
And that would be 6 ounce steak, salad,
baked potato,
maybe not iced tea. Iced tea would be different, added up to that. But you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty fair price. You go to a steakhouse like the Outback now, that's going to be $25 right there. I just mentioned, huh?
Right. Uh-huh. You're going to start there.
I don't know if beef's like going up crazy. That's what I've heard.
Oh yeah, I bought a 4-pack of steaks on Saturday, and I did not get the. I mean, now, I paid like $65-$70 for a pork.
For four steaks?
For four.
You can go out to eat for that.
Pretty much. After I bought it, I was like.
Have somebody else cook and clean up for you there.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Well, and then I didn't cook them long enough. But anyway. So, yeah.
Wait a minute. You miscooked, undercooked?
Man, I'm not. I'm the sweetest chef when it comes to preparing food.
Well, as they say, better to undercook than overcook. You can't go backwards on.
Very true.
On that. All right, so anyway, but I'm just saying that's just anecdotal, general observation. Uh-huh. I have noticed the price of food, as I say, grocery store and maybe not. People are going, well, what about garden food? Well, maybe not. Maybe if you grow your own garden, have your own chickens and your cows, and if you, quote, farm, you know, I guess you could get by cheaper. But even that, you hear about, you know, the cost of food for animals.
To your mm-hmm. point, yesterday, President Trump had a summit for farmers at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And he had beef producers there. And there's a young lady that represented rice growers. And one of the things that she said that's hurting rice growers here in the United States is that she mentioned these countries, India, Thailand, Pakistan, to a certain extent, are dumping rice in our markets. Trump turned to one of his economic advisors, said, I want you to make a list of the three countries she just said. We're going to put an extra tariff on those countries because they're dumping rice in this country. And so, you know, what's happened so much over the last several years, we're importing so much more food from other countries. And yes,
but isn't that in the law in the free enterprise system that's supposed to make prices go down for the consumer? True,
it's supposed to. However, what it's doing, according to these farmers, this is why the president had this summit. It's killing the farm industry in this country.
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We used to hear the stories about agriculture being subsidized.
Right.
By the federal government. In other words, they'll pay a farmer not to grow.
Mm. Heavily subsidized. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Food. Does that still go on?
It does.
I'm sorry, I'm ignorant.
It's in the farm bill, which is like every 4 or 5 year bill.
That's not how we treat any other industry, though. And I understand it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We don't subsidize the real estate market, right? Mm. We don't subsidize people who make automobiles.
Yeah.
Right.
Some Democrats have long claimed that we're subsidizing oil and gas, but the oil and gas people say it's a different thing. They're getting tax credits and tax breaks.
But I understand why you do it. I understand because you don't want when you're farming, you can't go out of business and then go back into business and then go out of business and go back into business. You have to have some consistency. And if, let's say, the weather, for example, creates a problem,
mm-hmm.
well, it hurts the whole country if farmers in mass have to go out of business because of a drought or too much rain or too much. So yes, it is protectionism, so mm-hmm. to speak,
mm-hmm.
but it's done for the greater good.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily exactly in that free enterprise, free market that the chips fall where they may category.
Well,
right?
Especially on that, when you talk about food, you don't want to become overly dependent on other countries.
Right.
And that's what Trump is trying to turn around now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, rice, we grow a lot of rice in the U.S.
We do. And this young lady representing rice growers was saying, but the rice farmers here are being hurt by the dumping of rice in this country by countries like India and Thailand. And Trump says, I'm going to do something about that.
Yeah, but don't we dump ours in other countries too, maybe?
I'm not sure because
soybeans?
I think it costs but
that's different. that's different.
That's not America first. That's all we care about. Next story, Chris.
All right. I mean, we could very well talk about this until the end of the program. Jasmine Crockett wants another job.
Jasmine Crockett?
Yes. Representative Jasmine Crockett from
Not Betty.
No, not Betty Crockett. Jasmine Crockett.
Jasmine Crockett. Who is she and what does she have to say?
All right, so she is the representative from the Dallas area that has not been a fan of
U.S. House of Representatives.
Yes. She is not a fan of Donald Trump, not a fan of people like Ted Cruz or Governor Greg Abbott. She is running for the U.S. Senate now, and she made that official yesterday on the last day of filing paperwork to qualify for a Senate campaign. Let's hear a little bit from the representative. Clip 12.
Turning Texas blue is what I want to talk to y'all about today. Now, there are those that say, ain't no way we done tried it 50 kinds of ways. Let me be clear, y'all ain't never tried it the JC way. We used to telling us what I can't do, but they have no idea what Crockett's crew will do.
Now,
what's your first name?
Jasmine. People might remember her from clips that we've played of her saying things like this. Clip 13.
I know we got Governor High Wheels down there. Come on now.
This ridiculous tyrant is trying to do everything that he can to break our democracy.
It's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard.
But Timu Hitler in the White House right now that thinks that he is going to become the dictator of the United States.
Listen, I think her chances of winning a Senate seat in Texas amount to jack squat.
Another good
example. I think we talked about his cousin.
Diddley Squat.
Diddley. Right. Yeah, right.
Well, now I think Jasmine right there. She talks a lot. She talks a lot of smack.
Yes.
Right. She called Governor Abbott
Hot
who,
Wheels,
who is in a wheelchair from an
Hot
from an
Hot
accident.
Wheels.
She called him Hot Wheels, making fun of his wheelchair.
Oh man!
And so, she's going to run as a Democrat. First of all, Democrats rarely, if ever, win statewide elections in the state of Texas. Now, maybe that's going to change one day. Secondly, she is a bad candidate to put up for a statewide election. She might win in her district in Dallas, but she has no chance. Who is she going against? Cornyn?
Well, it depends on who wins the primary between Cornyn, Paxton, and Representative Wesley Hunt, who is a Trump guy.
Who's the favorite there? Paxton?
Probably Cornyn, just because he's the incumbent.
I've seen polls the last month or two showing Paxton ahead of Cornyn.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And Paxton is the AG.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he's won a couple times in a statewide.
Right.
I would be more than happy to be wrong here, but I do think her campaign needs to be taken seriously for a couple of reasons. Let's go back to the most recent Senate election in Texas. Ted Cruz beat Colin Allred by less than 10 points. She is a bigger name than Colin Allred, and Houston is a massive voting block.
She doesn't live in Houston.
No, but it's a Democrat stronghold.
But it always has been.
Yes. I mean,
what else you got, Chris?
You throw in Houston, you throw in Dallas beyond just her district, you throw in San Antonio, you have a horse race.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she's going to win.
You calling her a horse, Chris?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying she's going to win.
She's a lady.
I'm just thinking it's a little too early for people to be going on television like people did on Fox this morning to say she's a Christmas gift for Republicans. She will say things that will be wrong, and she needs to be held accounted for. But I just don't go ahead and
she'll
assume.
Say them and you heard what she say. And that, play that montage again. This is.
I know we got Governor High Wheels down there. Come on now.
This ridiculous tyrant is trying to do everything that he can to break our democracy.
It's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard.
But Timu Hitler in the White House right now that thinks that he is going to become the dictator of the United States.
So that's your gal, huh?
Oh, I'm not, I'm not endorsing her. I'm saying I don't think people should just go ahead and assume it's safely in Republican hands because she is a media darling. Fox runs her every hour. She'll definitely be on MSNBC or CNN, and they will do their best to make her better than Beto and better than Colin Allred.
I was going to say, if a Democrat was going to win a statewide election in Texas, Beto O'Rourke probably had a better chance, and he did not succeed. So I don't see her. I'm sorry.
She doesn't have a chance.
No.
Now,
to your point, Chris, she could do well in places, parts of Houston, parts of Dallas. But, you know, you have those collar, so-called the collar counties,
yes,
which tend to be really red, really conservative, yeah, and they get out and vote. She cannot carry those. I don't even think she can make a big dent there.
Yes. No. You just bingoed, because I did go back. Beto O'Rourke had a better race against Ted Cruz than Colin Allred did. Ted Cruz only beat Beto by 2 points, and when you look at the map of Texas, which obviously is massive, to Ray's point, it is largely red with some blue pockets. But, you know, he didn't pick up anything really up here in the Dallas area. She will win more of the Dallas area than Beto did.
Yeah. That is close. I didn't realize Beto what was his name?
Beto O'Rourke.
They spent a boatload of money.
They did. They went after Ted Cruz like crazy. This is not Cruz.
A more moderate candidate might have some chance in Texas.
Yeah.
She cannot win.
No. Next story, Chris.
All right. What do I pick from? All right, there are some hearings today involving social media platforms and the harms that kids are experiencing by being allowed on there. Somebody out there calling out social media platforms is Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, who had this to say, clip six.
The social media platforms could stop it, but a lot of them don't, because they're worried that it's going to impact the number of people that use their platforms, which will impact their ad revenues, which will impact their ability to buy a third summer home.
Who's he talking about?
Various platforms in general. We're talking about, like, Meta-owned stuff. Instagram, Facebook X,
Instagram?
TikTok.
But what's the issue here? Why was Kennedy commenting on this in the first place?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Social media platforms are to blame for societal problems involving kids. They're spending too much time on there, and the stuff that they're witnessing, stuff that they're talking about, is detrimental to their mental health.
And they're concerned about predators using social media to befriend, to befriend young people.
I would not want to be a parent. Mine are grown and gone, as they say, even though they appear. I'm just talking about my kids are in their 30s. They're adults. I don't know. Chris, you and Brent got kids.
I do, and it is a struggle.
I would not want to be a parent today to try to, you know what I'm saying? I'd probably shut down the whole thing.
No phones, no nothing.
Yeah.
I mentioned to our story meeting this morning, Australia, there's a new law there. Under 16-year-olds cannot have an account. A Facebook account, social media.
I mean, it's a law.
It's a new law in Australia, the most strict in the world, actually.
Well, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Listen, you have all kind of regulations that prohibit minors from doing things.
How in the world, Fred, do they enforce that?
Yeah, I know.
Well, here's what they're going to do. Massive fines for people who run these platforms.
Oh, okay.
You need to be checking something like they do in Florida with regards to pornography.
Yeah.
That you have to identify yourself.
Right. To prove you're of age.
That's right. That's right. So it can be done.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to fine X and some of these platforms.
Listen, you got Instagram, you got TikTok, you got Facebook, you got YouTube, you got all these social media platforms, and, you know, a lot of it's innocent. I know that, but there are dangers out there that you hear about each and every day.
Even with video games, Roblox has been a big issue of concern. Florida is going after Roblox, which is a gaming platform, and the concern is sexual predators or perverts are finding kids on there and doing bad things.
Because you interact with people you don't know.
Yes.
And they pretend to be somebody they're not, right?
Mm-hmm. And that is actually another story we can get into in the next half hour if you wish.
Yeah. As I say, it's a dangerous world out there for kids and social media and the internet in general.
Right. Yeah.
Just,
right.
Just so much out there that they can get into, and a lot of it's unbeknownst to the parents until they discover it. You know,
yes.
Right? All right. We'll be back with more of today's issues in 5 minutes. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Fred, Ray, and Chris. And we shall return. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.